And now I'd like to introduce our first speaker from the Welcome Home Group of NA in Lock Haven area of NA, Hannah R. Thank you.
All right. Well, he really scared me because as soon as I'm Hannah and I'm an addict. Yeah. How about that one first? He really scared me because he's like, they asked me to chair whatever meeting. He's like, I picked 4 and 5 because I'm working step 4. And I'm like, woo, that's a lot of pressure. So let me start to qualify myself. First, I do want to say that I'm so grateful for this opportunity. It's really humbling. If somebody would have told me last year at this time, Hannah, God's will for you is to share in a year, I wouldn't have believed it. So I'm really grateful that I get to have this opportunity. So qualifying myself, I grew up in Lock Haven. It's my favorite statement. Grew up in Lock Haven, and my family was a really good family. I never wanted for anything. They sent me to a private Christian school. They sent me to a Christian school where I always was that bad guy, being smoking cigarettes with all these pastors' kids. And, my life took a different direction. I experienced some trauma in my early teens, and I didn't know how to deal with that. And I didn't have anybody in my life that I could really talk to about it. So I held this little secret in for a long time. And so what I felt was the best way, not sure how old I was when I started to drink, but when I started to drink, my thoughts stopped. I wasn't obsessed over the guilt and shame of what had happened to me, So then continue on, the drinking wasn't good enough. So I progressed until I was alone in an efficiency apartment, not able to go outside, because the crack got me. I was stuck. So I spent 7 months in jail, at the county prison, with a room full of 30 other women. And that was super difficult for me. I know a lot of us women, we don't really get along with other women. So that was a huge experience. Plus, my dad had been a corrections officer there for 30-some years. So every time he would walk past the little window, everybody would look at me, and there I was bawling. My family didn't really know what I was doing. And they were those good, upstanding citizens, obviously, and, to be in that situation really broke them. And that was a big part of why I made the decision. I didn't make the decision yet, but I knew I had to do something different, so I never came back to jail. So I started to attend the AA and NA meetings, primarily because it got me off the block and it looked good for parole. But I listened to these women's stories, and they... I was still young. I was 23, and I hadn't experienced, I had experienced enough for me. But hearing about, walking over fiancés' dead bodies, picking their pockets for their drugs and money and leaving, that scared me so bad that I knew that would be my future. So I still didn't make the decision to do anything different until... there's a professional in our area, and as soon as I got out, he called me and said, hey, let's hang out. So meet me at my house, 7:30, I want to meet with you, see how things are going. And he's a doctor. So I'm like, okay, he's going to put me on something that's going to make me feel good in the morning, make me sleep at night. I'm going to get all kinds of goodies from him. Like, I'm going on a date with a doctor. I'm thinking like, hey. But, then he's like, hey, you ready to go? I'm like, go where? He's like, I'm going to take you to this NA meeting. I'm like, all right, fine. And I sat there with my whole gangster swagger, just observing everybody. And, I was on strict probation, parole, whatever. And so going to NA meetings was this fun social thing. So every night I went and I listened. I did listen. And I remember I'm one of those guys that didn't think people in the rooms were clean. Like, there's no way that people can bebop around and be so happy. Like, it just didn't set in. But people rode me hard to get a sponsor. And I'm like, okay. So I guess I'll get a sponsor. And, of course, I got the easiest one. She was fun. She had, like, a year clean. But through that sponsor, I learned how to have some fun, that recovery can be fun. We did the precept work together. Then I started dating the guy that she was in love with. So then she couldn't sponsor me anymore. And it was a whole big drama to do thing. But we both got through it. And her and I are still really close friends to this day. I'm currently on my sixth sponsor. My sponsor says that there's no loyalty in sponsorship. So if you're not getting something you need to get a new one. So I'm not the type that I hold on to sponsors hell or high water. It's really uncomfortable for me to learn to trust another woman again. So I experienced the fourth step. I had done the first three steps with I did the first four steps with my third sponsor, and right around when I was working on the fifth step, she made the decision that NA wasn't for her, and she left the fellowship, leaving our area small, so leaving one other woman that had the experience to be able to sponsor me. And that woman, we absolutely hated each other. We hated each other. It's just, it was the clash of the egos. And so the day, you know, the day my third sponsor said, hey, I can't sponsor you anymore. You gotta get this other sponsor. And I suggest you get, well, Courtney. You get Courtney. Ah, shit. Like, please don't go. That was like the worst breakup in my entire life because I had loved her. It was, I think, a 3-year relationship that I had built with her, and she made that decision to leave. And that really shook my recovery, but since her last wish was for me to get Courtney as a sponsor, I submitted and got Courtney as a sponsor. So let's focus on the steps, because we're up to that fourth. My first three steps, and you can ask my sponsees that I go over it, I do the steps through the step working guide. That's what was passed down to me. So the first three steps were yes and no answers because I had this huge inflated ego. Look at me. Look at my recovery. I found God. I found God, which is, you know, I ran with that. So I was Miss Spiritual for a long time. So some scant 1, 2, and 3. Then I got to the fourth step. And in the beginning of It Works How and Why, it talks about if you're not completely honest in this step, you know, you're going to go out and get high. And that's what had been preached to me. You got to be fearless. You got to put it on this page. And that scared me. And it was, you know, the fourth step is this rite of passage. You know, we can do 1, 2, and 3 1,000 times every day. But this fourth step is really bearing everything that we held in that kept us in the cycle of addiction. So as soon as I read that first chapter, I'm sitting with my fresh notebook. I'm ready to go. And I read that, and the boyfriend that I was dating, he's now my husband, Joseph, and he's a predator. I only had like 60 days clean or something. Yeah, old school married me. Anyway, so I had to call him upstairs because I was in our little office, and I said, hey, I got to be honest with you. I've been lying about my clean time this whole time. This whole time, I had always said November, and it's actually February. You know, when everybody asked, hey, when was the last time? I just forgot. And so for 3 or 4 years, I just forgot every year that I shared for my anniversary. And that is why my first three steps were BS. They were BS because I held a huge lie. It was a huge lie. I had 3 sponsees, and I had to call each one. I'm lying about my clean time. You know, I'm so sorry. You know, take it for what it is. I had to go to a meeting, and I bawled because I had put myself on this pedestal because I'm spiritual. I got this. This is easy. You know, and then going in there, that is the most, humbling experience, and I was ready for this backlash because of this, you know, judgmental, self-righteous facade I put on. People held me. They hugged me. My sponsees, they didn't drop me. They understood that I am a flawed, sick person. And I think that that's when I really had to stop being judgmental at that point, you know. That's a big character defect of mine, being judgmental. But, you know, if people could love me through something that was so hard for me, I could love people that, you know, that maybe I didn't agree with stuff with. But, you know, for each one of you, I was getting nervous. Everybody started falling in. And, you know, Joe's like, these are your brothers and sisters. They've been where you're at. They're going where you're going. So it's easy for me to just relax because I don't have anything to hide. I'm a piece of shit. So I don't have anything to hide. So that fourth stem. What are those? I love that. My spiritual principles are courage, integrity, trust, and deepening honesty. I always say that the only thing I'd change in NA is the honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. With these, we are well on our way. I'd like to add courage in there, because you're not going to pick up that phone and ask for help unless you have courage. You're not going to start the steps unless you have courage. You're not going to change anything unless you have courage. Faith also plays a huge role in that courage, believing that I'm not standing up here telling you guys a bunch of bullshit, because most of what I'm saying is what people have told me. So that fourth step. Then I was able to actually start to work on that fourth step, and this had been a step that I was so scared to do, because I felt that I had left this huge wake of just chaos and, you know, that center of the universe thing where everybody was affected by me and my use. And I really did affect a lot of people. My family, you know, it's got law enforcement in the fourth step. It has every angle that we could ever think about. Like, I didn't think about... For all three of my steps, I didn't think about all these angles. The searching questions that the step working guide, you know, asks, you know, putting a whole new spin on what I thought was reality. And that's really what the fourth step did. You know, the fourth step is that moral inventory of ourselves. You know, what part did you play in a situation? So a lot of that was my past trauma. You know, putting myself around people that would take advantage of a woman, you know, and thinking it was all my fault. Now, I continued that cycle of insanity by continuing to put myself in those situations, but, you know, people do some dumb shit. People do some dumb shit. Other sick people making decisions, you know, that, really hurt other people. So, you know... I got a lot of relief from that. I know that why is the fourth step so important is because if I didn't look at these things, if I didn't write it down, if I didn't look at these, you know, from all different angles, you know, that would have kept me sick and suffering. The guilt and shame is what continued to keep me in the cycle of addiction. And releasing that pressure of the guilt and shame is what gave me the courage to continue to grow in my recovery. The fourth step is also where I realized and had the epiphany, because I think we all have different ideas of a higher power, and mine was very religious and very, you know, zealous. And I think that during the fourth step is when I really realized that my higher power puts people in my life, because I struggled so hard with that fourth step. It took me 2 years to finish that fourth step until the pain got great enough. And I'd go to every meeting and I'd share and I'd cry. I can't do this, you know. People telling me, let it go, Hannah, let it go. I couldn't, because my first three steps sucked. So before I started that fourth, I had to go back and do the first three steps again in the there's packets some packets. Not NA approved, but there's packets. But it helps me then focus up on, you know, my powerlessness, asking for help, and building that faith that I could do it with the help of other addicts. You know, so the fourth step is where I really accepted the help. I called people even more than I had ever called people. And I cried to them, and I just threw everything out there. Hey, this is asking me what I did to my first boyfriend, and this is what I did, and I don't want to write it. You know, well, you just told me. Now just write down what you told me. It's like, okay. I don't know why that made a huge difference in my life. But it did. And, you know, that spiritual principle of deepening honesty, you know, that's really what the force that broke through that denial that I wasn't that bad. You know, I did get to own some of it wasn't my fault. But there was no way after I got honest about my clean time that I could continue to lie to myself and others. I had broken the seal of the biggest lie I'd ever kept in recovery, so why the hell not? They still loved me, so I'm going to go for it. Let's just do it. But it did take me 2 years because it was epic. I think my fourth step was, a couple pages. It was a nice stack. It was a nice stack. And all I looked forward to was the day that I finished it to go over it, because people shared about the rocks falling off their back, this guilt and shame coming off. And when I sat down with my sponsor to go over it, I think it took 2 or 3 times to sit down, and I just cried when I would read this, and I was embarrassed, but she loved me, and she cried with me, and she held me, and I really feel that I never cried such happy and sad tears in my entire life before I did that 4-step and went over it. So that was a turning point for my recovery. Deepening honesty, the courage to talk to people. Man, that courage piece. Love the courage piece. Integrity and trust. Trust, of course, because I had to say it. I had to trust her. I had to do it. So after I went over my fourth step, she left the program. So before the fifth, before I actually wrote on the fifth. So, and this other girl that I had to get, Courtney, she was on my 4-step. She had a decent page of all the resentments I had against her, what she did to me, and a little bit of what I did to her, you know. So when I turned the page, so her and I started to go over, it was one of the first things I did. I just jumped in. She said, call me for 30 days. Called her every day for 30 days, and it was crazy how much she loved me and how she was able to show me to let go of all this drama and bullshit. She loved me when I hurt the most, and my trust was shaken because my sponsor, you were never supposed to leave me. You're never supposed to go anywhere. So we worked on that relationship, and we went over that fourth. And with her, yet again, the same thing that I had said the first time, still the tears, not so bad, still the unconditional love, and still that weight again. Because what one person will point out and what will stick out to them will be pointed out, you know, something else will be pointed out, and I needed that. And she didn't judge me. She made me read the part about her. And she owned her part. Yeah, I know, I talk shit about you all the time. Like, you know, like, all these subliminal things that I did, I had no idea it affected her so much, but it did. And so, you know, we talked about it, and we moved on. And I think that, you know, so now I feel like my role in NA is definitely love. And helping support. Our area is so small right now, and sometimes it's really hard to continue to put ourselves out there when sometimes you just feel like shit. When Keith asked me to share, you know, I was really apprehensive. I was like, I have a new sponsor now. because I went past where my sponsor was at in the steps. And so when I talked to my current sponsor about coming down here and speaking, you know, she's like, what's holding you back? And this past year has been the most difficult year, I feel like, in my life sometimes. You know, we found out that my daughter had been through some possible molestation by a family member. And, you know, I had a pretty good relationship with my higher power that I turned absolutely away from. And some of the people, like, that's a heavy subject. So some of the people I had in my life didn't know how to handle it, so they stepped back a little bit. And I felt really abandoned. And instead of digging down deep, I decided, okay, I'm going to take a step back. I'll take a step back, too. Like, that's fine, you fuckers. Like, I needed you the most. I'm sorry. I'm trying not to.
So good.
You know, I took a step back for a while, and I'm like, I live the program. I don't need to sit there in a room full of people that, you know, don't care about me. Copped a real resentment. But I still stayed in contact with my sponsor, and she has almost 30 years clean. And she just loved me. She's like, do what you can do, baby. It's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. Do what you can do. And she loved me and nurtured me enough to then again believe that my higher power is not too bad. Because I had gotten through all these emotions, these feelings, the telling the daycare what's going on, telling her teachers what's going on, pulling ourselves away from people that we had loved, that were family, you know. I had made it through all that clean, so something was still working in my life, you know. Still, my meeting attendance sucks. And those were all the big reasons why I'm like, I don't feel I have anything to share, that I have anything to offer. And she said, share that shit. Share that you struggled this year. Share the honest truth. And I'm like, okay, because I'm not standing here because, I don't know how I want to put it. I ain't shit. I'm a sick and suffering addict who got lucky, and the only thing I've ever done perfect is not get high. So that's why I'm still here, because I didn't get high, and I still practice the steps. So it was, he asked me what step I was on, and it was it's the eighth right now. We're about to finish up the eighth. And the fourth goes right into the eighth because you're dealing with those resentments. My giant list of resentments from junior high school up to like the day I wrote it was written down. So then in the eighth step, I used my fourth step. It is so epic. My steps are so epic because I hold on to resentments crazy. I'm very resentful. I'm like, okay, you're not worth my time. That's fine. Goodbye. You know, never trying to work on relationships. But it's crazy how through my chaos of that fourth step, that 2 years worth of chaos, and everybody saw it, and everybody could say, you're on your fourth step, right? I'm like, yes. Yeah, I am. I can tell. You can tell. You need to finish that, girl. You need to finish it. I'm like, is it really that obvious? But, yeah, it is, because I could see it now. I could see when somebody's doing their fourth step. I'm like, if you finish that, call me when you're done. That's fine. You know. Man, that's some good times. Good times. But that courage piece. Man, it takes a lot of courage to be us, to reach out when we don't want to reach out, when that phone weighs 1,000 pounds, you know, when we think we can do it all on our own, you know, and we have that courage to reach out and say, hey, I'm struggling. Help me, I hurt. It's still my favorite line and still the most difficult thing to say. Please help me, I hurt. That takes so much courage, so much courage. So that's why I make sure when I get that phone call, I'm here for you. I will take your hand and we'll go through this together, because that's what I needed. People babied me through those 2 years of that four step. They babied me. And I got into somebody with multiple years clean back pocket, and I just followed around insecure. You know, that fourth step changed the dynamic of my marriage. It changed absolutely everything about my recovery, you know. But I came out a better person. I came out with more self-understanding, but more self-love. I was proud of myself for getting through that pain. The one thing that I wanted when I first came around was to just like myself, you know, to know, to have the courage to look at what I did honestly. It made me feel, I never say pride, self-pride, but it made me, since I understood myself a little bit better, you know, I felt much better. I started to like myself after the fourth step. What time is it?
1:30.
Oh, okay. I feel like I could go on and on about the fourth step. But I'm like captivated by the trees back there. I'm filled with gratitude right now. You know, there's three people right there that stood by me and my family. You know, my husband, through so much drama and bullshit, but always had my best interest at heart. You know, and that's what NA has given me. It's given me a better understanding of myself. Given me a little bit more self-confidence. I like myself today. I like who I am today. I'm hoping that with more step work and going and doing step 12 and going back to the beginning that I continue to learn who I am, and be able to be that person I've always wanted to be. That person that I saw sitting around a campfire that's like, I want to be like her. She's calm. I can feel her calmness. You know, this program's not easy, but it's definitely worth it. I think that's all I got to say about that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hannah. And I'd like to introduce the second speaker from Beachwood, the Beachwood Group of NA, and from the East End area of Narcotics Anonymous, Colin Kay.
Hey, everybody, my name's Colin.
Hey, Colin.
And I'm an addict. Thank you, Anna, for speaking. So these spiritual principles are heavy, important spiritual principles. And I learned a lot about them. I mean, like, these are, a lot of the spiritual principles, at least to me, are like words that I've known what they meant for years. But I never really implemented a lot of them. And, like, they never had, like, a lot of meaning in my life until, like, I started to work some of the steps. And step four, for me, so one of my biggest character defects, which I don't think I'm alone in, is definitely procrastination. It's a horrible, horrible defect for this step. So my home group, we separate into three meetings, and one of the meetings we read out of it works how and why, and we do a step, and then the next week we do a tradition. And just to put this into perspective, I made it through four of those rotations while still on my fourth step. It's a long time. And that, I mean, part of, like, the fourth step, I think, for me was, like, you know, I know, like, people say that it doesn't matter, like, how much clean time you have doesn't matter about, like, what step you should be on. There's no correlation between that. But I, for the longest time, like, while I was procrastinating the fourth step, felt like I should have been past the fourth step only because I felt like, like, I had started writing on it, and, like, every time I wrote on it, like Hannah was saying, I felt like I would learn a little bit more about myself. The good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent, whatever it was. there's something about, like, writing. I did my step four out of the pamphlet. That's how my sponsor chose to work it, which I'm grateful for now, looking back. But every time, like, I'd write a little bit on the fourth step, and it would be, like, you know, I'd go, like, I'd be like, all right, I'm back, because I'd write, like, 2 days in a row after, like, not writing for, like, 3 months, and then it'd be, like, another 3 months before I wrote anything. So, like, going back over my fourth step was kind of interesting and strange, because there were a lot of different call-ins within the fourth step. Like, I didn't just write, you know, the fourth step out in, like, 2 months, where I was, like, in the same time period, in the same mind frame, and going through the same things. Like, I wrote, and I could tell, like, sharing with my sponsor, like, what I was, you know, what I had written, that, like, I was going through different periods of my life. And there was a period, like, so October 10th, 2015 is my clean date. Last year, though, was, for some reason, like, I was not in a great place mentally. Like, things were going pretty great. Like, I was still going to meetings. I was still, like, you know, keeping contact with my sponsor, which is kind of a, if I'm getting into deepening honesty, he's part of my friend group. So I have to, like, call him as a sponsee and also, like, be a friend sometimes. And I don't always call him and talk to him as a sponsee. But I was still in contact with people from NA. But all of, like, most of last year, and there's a lot of things that played into this, I didn't feel good about myself, like, whatsoever. I was not happy, like, with my job. I wasn't happy with, like, what I was doing with my life, like, outside of work. Like, I just didn't feel, like, truly happy. And I think part of that was, like, not liking your job is horrible. I mean, I'm sure everybody has to go through that, but it's a horrible thing to go to 5 days a week, somewhere where you have to be miserable for 8 hours a day. And I also wasn't working on myself, like, at all. I wasn't taking care of myself, like, physically, spiritually, mentally. I wasn't, like, consistently, like, working on my steps or any type of program other than going to meetings and, like, hanging out with people in NA. And the way that I am is, like, whenever I feel behind or whenever I, like, feel bad about myself, instead of taking initiative and, like, changing anything, I freeze up and I don't do anything. And I think, like, that's where I was with the fourth step for a really long time. I just, like, felt behind. I was beating myself up about feeling behind, and so, like, instead of doing anything about it, I did absolutely nothing. And I don't recommend that at all to anybody. It was, like, it was a very long period, and going to step four meetings and, like, my home group and, like, hearing the same stuff, and I'm like, I should have been past this already. It took me a while to get past that. But eventually, like, there was, like, a 2 week period where I was like, I have to do this because I don't want to feel the way that I feel anymore. The pain got great enough. I didn't feel like using, I didn't feel like my recovery was in jeopardy, but, like, I was sick and tired of, like, being unhappy inside. And so, like, I finished writing the fourth step. And then I went over, took, you know, two or three different little sessions to go over the fourth step with my sponsor. And, like, there was a couple things that I realized and, like, I learned about the fourth step, and specifically, like, these spiritual principles, courage, integrity, trust, and deepening honesty mean different things to me. When I try to apply them to others, and then when I try to apply them to myself. Taking a searching and fearless moral inventory was the first time I had applied, like, probably any of these spiritual principles, tried my hardest to, like, work them on myself, which was a new experience, because there's a lot of things, like, you know, where I'm at mentally or how I feel about something or, you know, anything that, like, if I'm not being honest with myself, other people aren't even going to know if I'm being dishonest with them, because I'm not even ready to be honest with myself. So there's this weird, like, if I'm not ready to be honest and have the courage to, like, dig deep and within myself, then other people aren't going to know me. And I think, like, that part of sharing on that level was, like, what I was missing by not finishing the fourth step. And once I got through that and, like, I was able to share the things that, like, I wrote down with my sponsor, I believed a lot more in, like, how important these spiritual principles are when applying, like, them to other people also in NA. My relationship with my sponsor grew after that. I don't know how you could share anything like that and have that relationship not grow. And after finishing, like, the fourth step, I started to, like, and I'm on six now, so I'm going over my defects. And I'm, like, through doing this and then, like, now being on the sixth step, I'm starting to, like, learn a lot more about, like, me, about Colin. I do like myself today. Like, I like the good things about myself, and I accept the bad things about myself, and I understand them. I think, like, before I had worked the fourth step and, like, saw some of my patterns, like, playing out, like, as I was, like, going through, like, the writings and stuff, it was hard for me to, like, honestly say that, like, I was okay with myself and that I liked myself, because I didn't know who I was. Like, steps 1, 2, and 3 are extremely important in, like, getting and staying clean in the beginning. But for me, like, once I worked the fourth step, I started to understand, like, who I was, and, like, I started to, like, be able to, like, if I was starting to, like, get in a mood or something, I would be able to, like, now see, like, okay, I haven't been doing this. I haven't been doing this. I've been doing this, but not enough. Like, I started going through, like, my patterns that, like, I would see in the fourth step and, like, the things that I didn't like about myself. And now I'm able to, like, point them out and try to do something about it before I, like, work myself into a corner, like a, you know, like a mental corner where, like, I feel trapped and, like, I feel isolated. Because, like, a lot of times, like, when I was stuck on this fourth step, like I was saying, I was still going to meetings. I was still talking to pretty much only people in NA. I was doing the surface stuff, but I felt isolated during that time. That was, I think, like, if I had to, like, pinpoint a feeling of why I felt so terrible during, like, most of last year, is because I felt isolated, even with people. And I didn't feel as connected to the program because I wasn't working my steps and I wasn't working with my sponsor directly. And there was a somewhat newcomer asked me the other day, he told me, he's like, I don't feel connected to NA right now. Like, I'm trying to reach out to people. You know, he started, like, this little group chat thing where he'll, like, send just for today to, like, 20 people every day. And, you know, it's, I get 37 text messages every morning because people will respond to it and everything. And it's great because, you know, he's trying. And, like, I'm happy for him. But he told me the other day, it was like a couple weeks ago, he's like, I don't feel connected to the program. He's been around for, like, I think 60 days or 90 days, somewhere in between there. And the first thing I asked him, I was like, do you have a sponsor? And he said, no. And I could tell by the look on his face, he kind of felt like that wasn't the question that he thought I was going to ask him after telling me that he felt, like, disconnected from the program. But, like, I explained to him, like, for me personally, like, the we and the fellowship is all very important. And, like, everybody needs, like, a support system. But when I personally feel the most connected to, like, NA as a program is, like, when I'm working steps and I'm working on myself and I'm, like, in conscious contact with my sponsor and my higher power. That's when I feel the most connected to this program. And when I wasn't doing any step work whatsoever, that led me to, like, isolating mentally and feeling so far away from NA, even though I was not really physically far away from NA. I was mentally and spiritually pretty far away from NA. And I felt, like, stressed and anxious a lot, and, like, I was never going to get out of the situation that I was in. And it was the disease just attacking me in all these different ways because I wasn't working on myself. So the disease came out and it hit me like where it hurt. And, you know, once I like finally hurt enough and gathered the courage to like finish writing the freaking fourth step and go over it with my sponsor, I felt like a new person in a way. Like I felt like I was back. You know what I mean? Like I felt like my spirit had been like reignited and like I wanted to like keep pushing forward through the steps again. And it's something that I needed to feel because I hadn't felt that since probably pretty early on, like when I first started working the steps. And now, what time is it? Now that I've gone over the fourth step, I still actually probably like, and now that I'm going over the sixth step, more than ever need to start implying or start using like a lot of these spiritual principles like still that are for the fourth step on the sixth step, because the sixth step is obviously hard, thinking about like all the things that, you know, I'm not good at or that like I fall short in. But it's gonna take like courage to start like addressing some of those things and seeing them like for what they are. My sponsor gave me a list of 194 character defects to write on for six. Not all of them are mine. I had to go through and pick out the ones that are mine. And the top like 10 most important ones are the ones that he wanted me to work on. And once I like went through that list, defined them all, find what they meant to me, and like I picked my 10, I was able to see like how all of most of my character defects from six played a part throughout my writings in four. Like I was able to see like where these things were happening and see where my part was being played in these resentments that I had to write on in four. Step four, like once I finished it, I feel like I had a greater understanding of what the word relationship means with another human. Because obviously like when using none of those relationships that I had with people that I was running with were relationships. There was always a reason I was hanging out with that person or a reason that they were hanging out with me. And once I saw, like, you know, I was going over, like, the list of resentments and then, like, you know, the part where I had to write, like, what I thought my part was, I started to understand how two-way a relationship actually has to be in order for it to be successful. And I never understood that or never thought about that before going over step four and writing on it. Probably because I'm a self-centered person because of this disease. And, you know, whenever I put something like that on a piece of paper and I'm able to, like, if I'm being honest, see exactly, like, what my part was in a scenario, like, it was funny how, like, going over those and, like, writing my part of them, like, I could kind of feel, like, the resentments that, like, I had written on before, and then after doing my part, I could feel them kind of, like, dissolve a little bit, because for all this time, like, I was carrying this resentment towards this person because this is what they did to me, and this is how I felt about the situation, and it was very, like, tunnel vision, F this person for this reason. And that was it. Like, I hadn't looked at any kind of like wider scope, like maybe like what part that I played or maybe where they were in their life at that point, like was it, you know, just like they were going through a tough point, maybe they like lashed out and I held that against that person for years for that. Like I hadn't thought about any of these things before like writing on four and going over any of this stuff. And it kind of sucks to like see like in black and white the part that you played on some of these, because like if I'm being honest, which I am right now, there's a lot of like resentments I wasn't ready to let go of. In a weird way, like sometimes I kind of like having a resentment towards this person or that person, like for, you know, whatever reason, I don't really know why. But then when I saw my part in it, I think I started to realize that like you know, a lot of these resentments that I had weren't as valid as I thought they were in my head. And then, like, going over, like, that type of stuff, like, with my sponsor, because it's a lot... My sponsor, the benefit of us being really good friends is also that he knows me pretty well as a person, because we hang out all the time. So, it's nice to have that kind of person in your life, because it's not always easy to see where you're falling short, or, like, how you're acting, just by, like, doing, like, a self-inventory. But when I started to, like, share some of this stuff with him knowing me as a person, he was able to see, like, and is now able to also see, like, maybe if I'm in a weird mood or if I'm in a weird spot, he's able to point out, like, you haven't called me, like, just to talk in, like, 3 weeks. That's different. Like, I haven't seen you hanging out. I know, like, you aren't working now. You know, it's nice to have a person like that to, like, be able to hold you accountable, because going over four, like Hannah was saying, you feel weird. Like, this is some stuff that, like, I never told anybody before. And now I'm telling a whole bunch of stuff that I never told anybody before to one person. But I think, like, that's what I needed, like, as an addict, to start to understand that, like, I can trust people. And I can be honest with people. And now, like, I try to practice a lot of these things after going over this, just with, like, little stuff, with myself. Like, integrity, to me right now, like, the things I'm trying to work on with integrity is if I tell somebody that I'm going to do something, I try to do it. No matter, like, how small or big it is. And even things like deepening honesty, like, I try not to, like, tell little lies. Like, if someone will ask me, like, to hang out or do something, there used to be a time where, like, if I would say, like, say I didn't want to go, I would give them a reason that wasn't the actual reason. I would say, like, anything. Like, if someone wanted to just, like, hang out, I'd be like, I can't because, like, I don't know if my mom's going to drop my dog back off. She has my dog. I'd make up some story. Stupid. Now I'll just tell people, like, I kind of don't want to hang out today. I just want to have a day to myself. And I never thought, like, something that simple, like, just being honest like that, would make me feel so good about myself in terms of, like, caring for myself and knowing when, like, I need some time to just, like, have a night for calling or whatever it is. That, like, this step taught me that stuff. Because it taught me that it's okay to be courageous, and it's okay to be honest, and it's okay to trust people, which I didn't think was true before. Because usually that stuff isn't true when you're using drugs and you're in that environment. It's hard to trust anybody. No one's honest with anything. Nobody has integrity. And I don't know if courage is involved at all, but probably not. But this step, like, going over the step, taught me, like, these things are okay. It taught me the real meaning of these things and how they could benefit my life. And it taught me that it's okay to be any of these with another human, especially in NA. My parents, like, were great. Like, I had a normal life growing up for the most part. My parents are still together. I never felt close with my parents, though. Like, really close. Like, I never felt close. Like, I'd see other people, like, be close with their parents. And I, like, obviously love my parents, and they love me. But I never felt like I could tell them anything. Or, like, I always felt like they'd feel like my sense of humor was weird. Or just, like, something. I never felt like I could just be myself around my parents. And, again, like, I think as a byproduct of going over this and these spiritual principles being used, like, I've been able to, like, be more honest and, like, put more trust, like, in my parents in terms of just, like, telling them where I'm at and telling them about my life. And, like, that relationship's grown because of that. There's been a lot of, like, good things that have happened from going over 4 and 5. I've learned a lot about myself, and I've also learned a lot about, like, how a relationship is supposed to work. with a sponsor, with a friend, with a significant other, with your parents, with siblings, whatever it may be. Like, I've learned that that's a lot more of a two-way street than I ever made it out to be before, and that I also, like, have a big effect on how a relationship plays out. Just because, like, you know, I don't feel like hanging out with someone and I'm going to tell a little white lie because I don't want to do it. I might, like, do that and think, like, it's nothing. But really what's happening is, like, I'm not strengthening that relationship with that person. And I'm not being honest with myself. And, what time is it? What time do we have? Is it 2?
1:55.
Is it till 2?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there's not a whole lot more I have on this. I cannot stress enough to just not chill on the 4-step for as long as I did, because that was not fun at all. It was a really dark place, like, for me to be mentally and spiritually. And, you know, if there's anything like that I've learned through going over this, like I touched on earlier, it's just like step 4 and 5 made me, like, realize that it's okay to, like, trust and be honest with people. And I'm not obviously anywhere close to, like, perfect with any of these things, but now I work on them because of this step. I work on integrity, and I work on being, like, trusting and having trust in people, and I work on being honest with myself and honest with others. And, like, so far it's yielded me nothing but good results. Whether, you know, the thing that I'm being honest about or not is good or bad about myself, like, it doesn't matter. I'm learning about myself, and, like, I'm learning about this process, and gaining more, like, self-confidence. Like, again, like Hannah touched on, like, if I practice these things, like, or I'm at least making, like, a conscious effort to practice these things, like, I feel better about myself. Even if the thing I'm telling someone isn't what I want to be telling someone, after I tell them, I feel better about myself. And I realize it's okay to tell people when I'm not okay or when I messed up or when I fall short, because I'm a human and I'm an addict. So, like, those things are going to happen. Yeah, that's all I have.
All right, perfect.